The choir. The gospel choir.
Well, good morning.
Oh, hey, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Corey McLaren.
There we go. I'm on now?
Yeah.
Okay. You want me to start over?
Good morning. My name is Corey McLaren, and Steve and I and our brothers from the Georgia Mid-South region had an opportunity to be here in Jackson, Mississippi.
Yes,
and to meet and congregate and fellowship and talk about relationships with a purpose and how we're going to move forward as a region by supporting one another and helping the small churches as much as we can. So grateful for the leadership here, Sydney and Donald and all the leadership here. You guys do an amazing job. So grateful for you guys. So grateful for the invitation to come and share the word with you guys this morning.
I kind of invited us.
You invited us. Okay. All right.
Amen.
But he volunteered you and me. So I've been in the ministry for 25 years. We have my wife and I, Stephanie, met in college. We both played college basketball in North Carolina. And we have three children. Ava, who is 20, about to turn 21. Here she goes to Emory University. She's in the nursing program there. So last year, nursing school. And we have Chase, who's 19. And he's getting ready to go to barber school.
There you go.
He wants to be a barber. Okay. And then we have Jackson, who is 14 in eighth grade. He is 6 foot at this time. My oldest son, Chase, is 6'5". So my wife is 6'2 as well. So, they get it honestly. So grateful to be with you guys and just a little bit about our family and a year and a half ago our family moved to Athens, Georgia be a part of the leadership and I am the the senior pastor, the lead pastor there. it's been a joy. It's been a joy being there, and so grateful to be with you guys this morning. I heard you guys have been talking about relationships. So this morning, I want to talk to you guys about something that we have been focused on in Athens. And our theme all year has been rooted from Colossians 2, 6 through 7, to be rooted in Christ. The lesson that I want to share with you guys this morning is called Rooted in Our True Identity in Christ. Rooted in Our True Identity in Christ. So if you turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 27 through 30, or if you click or
point and touch
with our phones, whichever one you have, that would be great. The Bible reads, Jesus and his disciples went to the village around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Messiah." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. You know, as Christians, it's important for you and I to know what people say about our identity. Amen. You know, we are followers of Jesus. You know, and the thing is, do people see that. You know, so Jesus asked one of his close companions, what people are saying about me? You know, and then Peter said, you are the Messiah. You know, Peter answered correctly, you know, and Jesus was fired up about that. You know, but I think it's important for people to know who we are as Christians, right? And so here's the question I want to pose to you and I want you to answer. My name is blank and I am a blank. Should be up there. My name is blank and I am a blank. Now, in our church, we do this a lot. You know, we go around and I invite and engage the congregation in the lessons, okay? And we teach one another, okay? So, this is your time, okay, to respond, okay? My name is, and I am a blank. Who wants to respond first? Tell me your name again.
My name is Delicia.
Okay.
And I am a precious, loved child of God.
Amen. Okay, my name is Delicia, and I am a precious and loved child of God. Okay? All right, what else? Come on. Participation.
Well,
not Scott?
Not very original.
Okay.
You got the first one part right.
Okay.
And so I'm a Christian.
I am a Christian.
Nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
I'm John. And I'm a disciple of Jesus.
I'm a disciple of Jesus. Okay. All right.
My name is Sydney, and I'm a simple man of God.
Yeah. My name is Sydney, and I'm a simple man of God. Okay.
Simple.
Simple.
All right.
Simple. Simple.
I'm a simple.
I'm a simple man of God. All right. Who else?
My name is Nora.
I'm a daughter of God. Okay. All right.
My name is Julia, and I'm a seeker.
My name is Julia, and I am a seeker.
The truth.
A seeker of the truth. Okay. All right.
My name is Chris, and I am a resident of Jackson, Mississippi.
I am a resident of Jackson, Mississippi. All right.
That's right.
Okay. All right.
My name is Richard, and not only am I a son of God, but I'm a son-in-law of God.
I'm a son of God, and I'm a son-in-law of God. Okay. All right. Now, let me ask you this. What would you have said to that question before you knew Jesus? Before you knew Jesus, how would you have answered that question? Let's go.
I used to say my name is Antonio and I am an engineer.
I'm a what?
Engineer.
There you go.
I am a nice guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, come on. What would you say before you know Jesus?
I would talk more about accomplishments, you know, like I'm a social worker or I have a master's, you know, I would talk about
things like that. Okay, come on.
My name's Julia and I'm an artist.
I'm an artist, yeah. Okay.
I feel the need to answer the question because I didn't think anybody would care to ask it.
That's really good. Okay.
I would have said, my name is Steve and I'm an American.
Oh, there you go. I'm an American.
That's my allegiance.
Okay.
Pledge allegiance to the flag.
Okay. Alright. Come on. More of you. I'm still waiting. See, I see some faces over here that haven't answered yet. So, you know, I pull you in. That's what I do. Okay? Alright. Who else?
I could have said, like, my name is Tia and I'm a student, or like the great item.
Okay, the student of the grade year. I would have said, my name is Corey, and I'm a basketball player.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would have said.
Right.
Okay, but in Romans 1:1, look how Paul identifies himself. Paul says, I am a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. in Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
There's a theme there.
There's a theme. Steve stole my thunder. What is the theme that runs through those passages?
Being a servant.
You know, being a servant. Okay? Which leads me to my first point. Your assignment is not your identity. Your assignment is not your identity. Your assignment is what you do. Your identity is who you are. So many times we confuse our assignment with our identity. Our assignment is what God has given us to do, but our identity is who we are. Right? And our assignments are anything that God has entrusted to you or called you to do. And I think about four different areas that God has assigned us to. Okay? Number one, ourselves. Our first assignment is to take care of ourselves. Right? That's our first assignment. The second assignment is to take care of our families. Okay? The third assignment is to be a good steward, a good example in your workplace. And then your fourth assignment is the church. Okay? How do we glorify the church? Okay? Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people throughout Achaia. Okay? So, here's what I want you to do. Think about, what was the theme of that, of those first passages we read? What was the theme?
Being a servant, right?
That's how they identify themselves, right? What does Paul do here in this passage? What does he identify?
Apostle.
His assignment. I'm an apostle. Right? And I put this scripture here, not that this is what Paul meant to do, but again, I want to reiterate that so many times we think about our identity as our assignment.
Everywhere I go, Corey, socially, and I don't know somebody, that's typically the first question somebody asks me.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do? Yeah, it's not who am I, because that's a deeper water,
right.
But
you know,
they
right.
Start. So what do you do trying to start a conversation?
Yeah.
But our culture mashes those two things together all the time, puts the pressure.
Right.
That I am what I do, not those things are separate.
Right. So, and then it would be weird. Wouldn't it be weird? Somebody asks you, well, who are you?
No.
I'm a servant of Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm a beloved child of God. Okay? Would you go out in our society and would you answer a question that way?
No.
No. But would it be fitting to say, I'm a disciple of Jesus?
They would call me. They might think I'm a Jesus freak.
Yeah. You know, if I yes.
Straight up.
Yes. Yeah. They would call you a Jesus freak, but at the same time, would it open up conversation?
Yeah, it would.
It would open up some conversation, right? Okay. But here is how God identifies us. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. 3 through 14. We're going to read this. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were all chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance into the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." And the church said, amen. Now, what can you identify? From this passage, how does God identify us? Give me one.
That we're chosen?
Chosen. Good. Good. That's one. Come on.
Well, he identifies God as the Father, so I guess that means we're his kid.
Sonship.
Yep.
There you go. We're sons and daughters of God. Right? What else?
We're predestined.
That God thought about you and I before the creation of the world. That's the reason why we're here, because he thought about us, each one of us. That should make us feel special. Mm-hmm. That God thought about you and I before the creation of the world. We were predestined to be here. We were predestined to hear the gospel. We were predestined to hear the good news. Okay? What else?
We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit.
There you go. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Okay? And the Spirit is not a passive spirit. It's a spirit of power, self-discipline, and love. Right? Okay? What else?
We're blessed.
We are blessed. We are blessed. How many people feel blessed?
Usually.
Well, feel blessed. Depends. You know? Amen. Okay? What else?
Redeemed.
Yep. Come on.
To quote from the ongoing series, I'm chosen.
Yeah. We said that. Yep. Julia said that one. Yep. What else? There's a big one in here. Goes along with redeemed. Forgiven. I am forgiven. Okay. The other one I see in here is I am a treasured possession. I'm a treasured possession. okay? And the last one I picked out of here was, we've been given a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay. That's your identity. Go ahead.
But sometimes it's very hard to believe that I am a treasure.
That was your ass then.
I mean,
yeah.
I know that this is true.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just don't believe it completely.
Yeah.
You don't feel like I'm struggling with that.
Yeah. And I think we're going to answer the question why we don't feel like a treasure possession here in a moment.
Okay.
Thank you, Antonio, for saying that. Okay. But the question I was going to ask, and you started the comments. Do we feel like this when we walk around? You know?
Sometimes.
You know, yeah, sometimes. You know, because, you know, sometimes we don't want to be chosen. Okay? Because, I mean, honestly, you know, this is the hardest thing you will ever do in your life as Christians. To be a son and daughter of God. To carry his example into the world. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And you know what? We're flawed.
What?
You know? We're flawed, okay? So at times, you know, we feel like, okay, because I'm flawed, okay, I can't do what God has asked me to do because the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, it's deep, it's ingrained. But you know what? God says what? You're redeemed. You're forgiven. You know, I mean, like when we start, we're holding on to stuff, right?
Yeah.
And God says, get out of the desert. Get out. Get back up on your horse. You're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. I'm ready. Come on. I'm cheering you on. Get up. I believe in you. And a lot of times we're stuck. Because we don't believe we're his treasured possession. We don't believe that he has forgiven us. We don't believe that we're chosen, that we're loved. We don't believe it. I told my buddy, I was talking to my buddy from Charlotte, and he is a principal of a middle school, and he's about to retire in a year and a half. And he says, Corey, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said, what do you mean? You don't know what you're going to do? He says, I've been a principal, you know, for a long, long time. And he says, I'm used to going in and this is my school. You know, I hire, I fire, you know, I have authority. People look to me. And he wasn't bragging or anything.
Yeah.
He wasn't boasting. He says, but I'm concerned. Okay? When your identity is wrapped up in your assignment, you have an identity crisis.
I see.
When your identity is wrapped up in your assignment, you have an identity crisis. Because you're not ready for the next assignment because you're still mourning the previous assignment because you've gotten your identity all wrong. Your identity is not your assignment. Your identity is who God calls you to be. And so he's going through an identity crisis because he's forgotten that his identity is not wrapped up in his assignment. His identity is who God calls him to be. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Point two. And I think this is going to answer your question, Antonio. By the way, my mom's first name was Antonia.
Oh.
Yes. Your behavior is not your identity. Your behavior is not your identity. How many times have you and I thought the mistakes that we have made, the decisions that we have made in life, they've defined us?
Right.
Your behavior is not your identity. I remember being in the eighth grade, and as you guys know, I played college basketball, and in the eighth grade, I lived in a pretty rough neighborhood. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina, and I lived in a neighborhood called Morningside Homes. It's actually where, if you know anything about the history of Greensboro, North Carolina, it's where the Greensboro Massacre happened.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, and that's where the Ku Klux Klan, okay, had a shootout with the African American community. Okay. Tons of people were killed. I remember that. I was there. And I remember my mom pulling me in the house and yelling and screaming and shots being fired, all those things. Okay? So I lived in a very hostile, violent, sensual, provocative environment. Okay? And I was part of a neighborhood gang in the eighth grade. And the high school coach, the high school basketball coach came in and had a talk with everybody who was aspiring to play basketball in high school. And our high school was an incredible program. We had sent a number of people to play D1 basketball and to the pros. And I wanted to be a part of that. And so we're sitting in a crowd like this, an audience like this, but it was probably about, 50, 60 kids in there who wanted to play. And my high school coach, he's talking about what it's gonna take for you to play at Dudley High School. That was the name of my high school. And as he's talking, he looks at me. And I had no idea he knew who I was, okay? He looked at me and he said, "Corey McClary, you'll never ever play for me because you are a troublemaker." And he said that in front of all my friends. And I'm like, you can imagine how I'm feeling at the time, right? And, but what had happened is he had heard about my reputation. That I was in a gang, that I was fighting all the time, that I caused trouble at school, in the classroom, with my teachers, and it was all true, okay? And so I made a decision that year, okay, that I was gonna get out of the gang, okay? So in order to get out of the gang, I had to fight everybody in the gang. Okay, so I had to fight everybody in the gang. But so what's weird about the gang is, it's like you fight everybody in the gang, right? You get out of the gang, and then they protect you. Because they know you had something going for you. You were talented in basketball. So they never let anybody mess with me. They protected me. And they were all at my games. They just protected me the whole time. It was weird. It's weird. Okay. And so I say that, okay, because I'm going to end this story with this. I went on to play ninth grade basketball. I started. End of my ninth grade year, the varsity coach who told me I would never play for him pulled me up to varsity. okay?
There you go.
And I played 4 years of varsity basketball, okay? Got a scholarship to Greensboro College. My last game in college, my high school basketball coach was there. After the game, he presented me with this photo album with all of my articles and everything in it from 4 years. He had been following me.
Wow.
Okay.
So are you saying that your behavior wasn't your identity?
My behavior is not my identity. Right?
I get it.
Your behavior is not your identity. You may have made some mistakes. You may have made some bad decisions. Okay? I don't know about you, but in my Bible, I see a lot of heroes of the faith making a lot of mistakes. Yeah. Yeah. David committed adultery. Okay? Murder. He was deceitful. He was a liar. What did God call him? A man after my own heart.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen.
Peter, the loudmouth, the impulsive one. Okay? God, you know what? You know what? If people come and, you know, they're trying to mess with you, you know, no. Guess what? I'm gonna never deny you, God. I'm your dude. We roll together. I'm never going to deny you. Peter denied him how many times?
Three times.
But who got the keys to the kingdom? Mm-hmm. Peter. Mm-hmm. Peter was at Pentecost preaching the gospel to all nations. And 3,000 were baptized. Peter. Paul, witnessing the death of Stephen. Not only witnessing it, he's approving of it.
Yeah.
And they're putting Christians in jail. And God has a vision for Paul. Even though Paul was against his people, he has a vision for Paul. He tells Ananias, he says, go and preach the gospel to Paul. And Ananias is like, what are you talking about? This dude is persecuting us. This dude is he's killing us. He's putting us in prison. And you want me to go preach the gospel to him? He says, go. And I love what he says next. He is my chosen instrument. What? He is my chosen instrument. Let me tell you something. If you came here this morning feeling depleted, feeling discouraged, let me get my notes so I can finish. Feeling down, feeling out because of decisions or mistakes you've made.
Right.
God's got you. He's got you. Your behavior is not your identity. It's not. And that's why, see, Satan wants you to believe that. Why? Because he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God has come to give you life to the full. He wants you to get up. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to be like the heroes of the faith that you read in Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews chapter 12 says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And the church said, amen. And let us run the race marked out for us. See, to be a witness is not about observing. That's not what that passage means.
Right.
To be a witness is to give a testimony of your perseverance through trial. See, when I went through this, God did this. That's what it means to be a witness. To give a testimony. You still giving testimony? Or you still licking your wounds? Woe is me. Woe is me. As soon as you say, woe is me, Satan's got you. As soon as you stop believing, as soon as you stop having faith, as soon as you stop taking the next step towards Jesus, Satan's got you. And that's where he wants you. So you can't have no impact. He doesn't want you to have any impact. So he uses your behavior against you. No. Mm-mm. Transform your mind. Renew your mind. Take captive the thought. And make it obedient to Christ. Your behavior is not your identity. Remember, you're blessed. You're chosen. You're redeemed. We're adopted sons and daughters. We're loved. We're his treasured possession.
That's right.
Let's pray for communion. Father, we thank you that you don't treat us as our sins deserve. That our identity is not wrapped up in our assignment nor our behavior. Our identity comes from you. It's how you think about us. Father, you love us incredibly. So, Father, we are so grateful for that. And Father, you want us to win in life. You want us to be the best version of ourselves created in you. And Father, we pray, God, that we will not believe the lies that Satan is telling us. But Father, that we would always go back to Ephesians. And that we would keep that in the forefront of our minds. Of how you think about us. That we are chosen. We're loved. We're redeemed. We're forgiven. We're people who once did not have mercy, but now we have mercy. Father, we are your treasured possession. Father, thank you so much for the gift, the gifts and the talents that you've given each one of us. Help us to use that to bring you glory, to build your kingdom, to attract those in the world who need you. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. As we take the bread and the juice that represents his broken body and the blood he shed on the cross, help us to continue to remember how you see us. We are your treasured possession. Please forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.